Hello, welcome back to The Sociopath and the Empath. I'm Mario.
And I'm Emily.
And this is episode 10.
10?
Dose.
Not yes. Dose.
Yes.
Yes. I'd have to do all of them too and count that way. So what are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about how empaths and sociopaths deal with a lot of things, and one of them is going to be, where is my list? Being alone. Let's start the topic.
All right.
So who do you want to rock, paper, scissors for it?
You can go first.
All right. So empaths, how to be alone. Well, empaths actually don't like to be alone, and the problem is that they're really never alone. Like, they always have people with them, but it's like, it's, you just feel like it's not enough. You just feel like you have all the emotions from whoever you hurt or hurted you, and you just feel like sometimes you have to hold back what you want to say to that person because you feel like you're going to hurt them. And that's not good, because you should be quite honest with the person that you hurt or hurt them, if you are alone or if they discard you. I mean, for me, I was with a narcissist, and the scar was really bad, like, in the beginning, and you just feel abandoned and alone, and it's just, the abandonment is so hard. Because you, again, at least for an empath, you feel like, wow, I was doing so well being alone in my life, and I was okay, and then I let this person in, and now I'm hurt because I can feel their feelings and my feelings at the same time. And it's just hurt and annoying, because I feel like an empath, like, once you kind of get over being alone and over the abandonment, that person that you hurt, or you hurted them, or they hurted you, I just repeated myself twice, sorry. I feel like you'll never get that person back, because the empath is going to find out exactly what went wrong. Because I journaled, like, what? Like, 3 journals. And
a lot.
And I still have, like, this, like, essay that's, like, I want to say an hour long of, like, what happened and every detail of my relationship. Like, I dissect everything. And I'm like, why do I feel all these feelings? And I hate that about being an empath, because you have to, it's like you're a detective. Like, you're just like, why am I feeling this way? Why can't I say this? Like, why? And it's just because you're having too much empathy about the whole situation and being alone. Is now the worst thing in the world, because you don't want to deal with your own feelings. You have, like, it's so much better to deal with other people's feelings, because you can actually give, like, what you went through. And so with that, I will close.
Okay. Going off of that, I just also wanted to say that I can relate a lot to, like, the discard phase, like, except being the person that does that to other people, because I get, like, really wrapped up in, like, new, exciting people, you know? And, like, they'll be the center of my world for, like, a few weeks or, like, a couple months or whatever. But once I learn a lot about that person, or I just lose my interest, or they do something that's, like, annoying or clingy or whatever, something I don't agree with, then, like, suddenly I'm just completely turned off to them, and I don't want to have anything to do with them anymore. So, like, I'll start having really short answers, and then, like, that's if I don't just ghost them completely, which I have done before. So yeah, and then eventually they're just left feeling like, why did this person seem so interested in me, and then suddenly they're just not at all, like, at all. I don't really feel anything about that one way or the other, but that's just, I just wanted to say my part about that. And then going off of the lonely thing, like, feeling lonely, I guess, as somebody with ASPD, like, I can relate to that feeling. Like, in high school, sometimes I'd feel bad being by myself. I chose to be alone because I didn't see the point in connecting with people. I didn't really understand connecting with people or, like, see the point of it. So I just chose to be by myself. And sometimes that got, like, lonely when you can see other people around with their friends just laughing and being really happy. Like, you want to be happy like that, too. Like, I still, just like any normal person, I still want to be happy, you know? So I have had a best friend named Sierra who's always been in my life as long as I can remember, like, for the last 8 or 9 years now. So, like, I've never been completely alone. I know that I'll always have her, and that is reassuring, because I've had a lot of people get close to me and then leave, and I think that's part of why I started caring so little about people. So, it gets lonely, too, when you feel really empty, and that happens very frequently when you have, like, emotional disorders. Like, you feel empty quite a bit, because you're just not feeling emotions like other people, and you know that you don't, and sometimes that's isolating, and, like, it can just get to you. That's probably part of the depression, too, but, yeah, so that's probably the only times that I've really felt, like, lonely, though, I'd have to say.
Don't you want them to be clingy to you? I thought that's what you want.
At first, it's kind of nice, and I like the attention and everything, but once we're over the initial excitement of it, then it becomes annoying, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah, I guess that's the best way to put it.
Do you ever feel not being enough?
I would say that I don't really have too many issues with that, because I push myself to be the best that I can, the best that I care to be. Like, with work, I do what I have to.
Going back to work again.
Yeah, I do what I have to feel, like, I know that I'm better at my job than a lot of the people that I work with. That's just a fact. So, like, I feel like, I don't know, I do what I can to move up and be successful as long as I'm ahead of people at my age. I'm only 21, so as long as I'm ahead of people my age, I feel like I'm being successful, and that is fulfilling to me. That's all I really need.
What happens if you fall behind? What's gonna happen? Or what do you think is gonna happen?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, because I don't really see that as a real possibility.
But shit does happen. Life is not fair.
I know. I feel a little bit like I'm starting to fall behind, because right out of high school, I went and joined the military, and now that's not going so well for me. And now I'm in a job that's, like, really well-paying compared to most of the other jobs people have at my age. But, like, at the same time, there's a lot of people that took that job, too, around my age, and now they're way older, and they're still there. And that kind of freaks me out. Like, I don't still want to be there.
No.
So, like, I don't want to fall behind, and that's a little bit scary, but I just don't really... I kind of push that thought out of my mind, because I'm doing well right now, and that's what matters to me. So, I'd say school, too. I'm also in school, in college, trying to get my associate's degree, because I feel like I really don't need more than that for a criminal justice degree. So that's another thing that helps me feel, like, fulfilled about myself and satisfied with my life. I am learning a second language, Swedish, so I feel like I'm ahead in that sense, too. I'm on the verge of being able to understand it very well, and, like, when people speak it to me. I know a little bit of Spanish, too, so, like, that puts me ahead of people. But if it's something I don't personally value, like the military, I could have got ahead in the military if I cared to, but I don't care about that. It bores the hell out of me what we do at drill, so I don't put any effort into that. But the fact that I'm in the military still puts me ahead of other people my age. But yeah, I'm content with my life for the most part, just as long as I feel like I'm ahead of people my age. Mm-hmm. So,
do you ever feel like guilt or shame?
Not particularly. Like, I guess there's like some, like, I usually know when I fuck up, but I don't like feel bad about it. I just know that I have to correct it, you know? Like, if I push too hard with one of my friends and I say something a little too harsh, they'll like, usually if it's way too harsh, they'll say something to me, or I can see it in their faces because I'm very good at reading people. And I know to backtrack then, or try to play it off, or, like, whatever. But I wouldn't say that I really, like, feel, like, bad about that. Like, in the past, I've had to screw people over in the past, and it doesn't bother me. I feel like I do what I have to, and as long as I'm doing something that makes me happy, then I don't feel bad about it.
Do you ever, have you ever apologized to someone and they didn't take it? And how did that make you feel?
I can't think of anything specific, but if that did happen to me, like, it would probably be a little bit disappointing and annoying that they're not taking my apology, because if I'm going out of my way to apologize to you, which is not something that I usually do, I don't apologize for things most of the time. I just, I just backtrack and play it off. You know, I don't apologize for, things just because people are too fucking sensitive. But, like, so it would piss me off probably if somebody, like, didn't take an apology that I offered them, so I'd just kind of be like, well, fuck that anyway then, you know.
Okay. So, for an empath, when someone doesn't take my apology, I kind of try to make it up to them, either by doing things for them, or I'll try to take sides for them. I'll try to help them.
To suck up?
It's not sucking up. It's more
That's
of
what
like.
It sounds like.
it basically. No, it's like. It like, I don't just like discard and say, like, oh, what. I see it as like, I'm trying to help them realize how sorry I am. And like, I feel like if I do that, it will then be like, okay, like, did she really have to help me? No. Did she really have to be there for me? No. Did she have to do my job for her? No. I'm like, I feel like that would be part of the apology. And that's when people take it for granted, because they'll be like, oh, wow, they did this when I got mad at them. I could do so much more. And then I throw myself up on the to the wolves and be like, oh, here you go. So, I think that's, like, a flaw that, like, empaths have. We just try so hard to be people pleasers in some way, and I feel like with a sociopath, you're just like, okay, you didn't accept it, I'm not gonna try anymore, because I'm not gonna try to get hurt or try to make myself look weak in any other way. Like, you should just take my apology and that's it.
Yeah, like, I would expect someone to take my apology if I go out of my way to fucking offer you an apology about something that I probably find extremely stupid.
So. Sounds like there's an apology that someone took that they didn't take and because it was stupid. I always feel like I'm not enough. I'm slowly getting that where I am enough. I will find someone one day that will make that, like, I'm enough, like, in relationship-wise. Like, I have people in my life that...
You don't need a relationship to get the validation.
No, but that's what I want in a relationship, though.
Okay.
I want to feel that relationship, because I never felt like I was enough. I feel like I had to keep going. I felt like I had to just keep pushing.
Right, that's a problem.
That is.
Well, sometimes I feel like you're a little... You try too hard to hang on to things sometimes. Like, you even admitted that with your ex. Like, you pushed too hard, you know?
I did.
And I see that a lot. You push hard with a lot of things, not just in relationships. Don't give me that look.
Like, with what?
Like, okay, if you offer me something and I say no and you keep pushing.
I just asked you water for twice. That was it.
Okay, I'm not talking about that. No. I'm just talking about in general because it's happened with multiple things before.
Oh, Jesus, here we go.
Well, I'm just saying if somebody says they don't want something or like.
Oh, the blanket? Is
pizza,
that what you're saying?
Well, that, okay. But like also with freaking pizza. You tried to be like, I'm gonna order pizza. Like, what do you want? What do you want? I don't want anything. I'm good. Well, you need to have something. I'm just gonna get something. Blah, blah, blah. Like, just something like that, you know? I don't know if that's actually a thing that happened. I feel like we did have an incident with pizza, though.
At some job. Point.
we eat a lot of pizza at our job, okay?
It's the only thing open on third shift.
For real.
We'll be like, God damn it, I didn't order Jimmy John's tonight.
For real, Jimmy John's, you need to be open later, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, you would be, like, making so much money.
Right, bro. And let me just say, I have this Coca-Cola that's cinnamon. It's the new cinnamon Coca-Cola. And this shit is bomb as fuck. Okay. Continue. Sorry. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Okay, that's fine. See, like, I think it stems from, like, I was, like, I mean, this is gonna get personal, but, like, I was abused as a child. And I took emotional and physical abuse from my parents. And they always felt like I was never enough. My mother, which is gone, was a total narcissist. And she would always, like, make me feel like I was stupid because of my learning disability. And it was hard for me to be, like, okay, like, at home. Whenever I went to school, I felt like it was a break from reality. Like, oh my God, I get to be, like, a whole different person. I'm not a fucking failure anymore. I'm enough-ish in some way. Like, I'll make people laugh. I'll, like... I try to, like, get... I think that's probably another reason why I'm an extrovert, too.
Yeah, that could be.
Because I try... Like, I just want that validation from people and try to get people to, like, be towards me. Being introvert is, like, so hard for me.
You made me think of something. I did feel a lot like I wasn't enough when my sister... Like, my younger sister, she is literally, like, the perfect... Like, she's physically perfect, and I'm not saying that in a weird way, but she's got, like, the perfect, like, tiny, like, athletic body that most guys like. So she's, like, very pretty for her age, and, like, she's always been extremely smart, like, way smarter than me, and my parents have always idolized her. And when I was younger, that used to really bother me because I felt like no matter what I did, it wasn't going to be enough. And that's part of why I joined the army, so that I could, like, kind of make up and, like, be, like, make myself stand out in some way. Because she was always outshining me in everything. So that is one thing where I didn't feel like I was enough. That was, like, that would really frustrate me, too. And I didn't get along with my sister back then, so that was even worse.
But you still took care of her.
Yeah, I still took care of her. I watched over her a lot more because my parents weren't always there. They were, yeah. That's another story.
Hopefully one day we'll be enough to basically talk on the podcast.
Right.
But, well, so you felt like you weren't enough, and... Because you weren't enough, you joined the military, even though you were taking care of your sister that was outshining you. Mm-hmm. So basically, it was... That's, like, so much to put on a child. That's, like, you're basically the parent, and you're not getting validation for it, you know?
Right. There was times where I did feel like I was raising my little sister, so... It was a lot. That makes you grow up fast.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my therapist said, too. She's like, you really had to grow up fast, like, because you pretty much, like, raised your sister. Like, my mom provided everything for us, but, like, wasn't always there.
Right.
And wasn't always on our side. So, yeah.
See, like, with my family, I didn't really have to raise them. Like, at least my sister didn't have to raise them. I try to, like, give them... I would warn them about things in their life. Like, my mother didn't want to tell my sisters that they were adopted. I found out I was adopted. And that really fucked me up.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Because it was like, wow, like, I've been lied to, like, my life about, I thought my dad and my mom had me. I was wondering why I wasn't, like, oh, mom, dad, like, where's the hospital I was, oh, like, where's the hospital I was born at? And my mother's just like, oh, like, it's down, like, you don't have to mean Emily. And so, I was like, okay, this is weird.
That reminds me, like, Ted Bundy had that happen to him. But he actually, it was more fucked up because he found out that his mother was actually the person who he had been told was his sister. And his, who he thought were his parents, were actually his grandparents. So he thought his mother was his sister and his grandparents were his parents.
And oh my god.
He found that out, and I think that's part of what made him snap and become a fucking psychopath, so. That can really take a toll on somebody, and I don't think people realize how much of an effect that can have on people.
Well, like, I didn't think about that when I was a kid. I might be a psychopath. I mean, there was a time where I thought that I did have, I was, like, a type of psychopath, but that was just me going manic for, like, months because I wasn't getting emotional support and I didn't care about my feelings. I was just guarded about myself. I didn't care about anybody else.
Yeah.
So, I just was in a really deep depression. I just handled it wrong. But, I mean, when my sisters were, like, I don't know when my sister Aline was, 8? Aline, I told Aline, I was just like, hey, just let you know you're adopted. And
that's how you said it?
But, like, well, I
hope you sat down and actually had a normal conversation.
Yeah, I know, I did.
Hey, by the way, you're adopted. Let me just flip your life upside down.
Well, like, the thing is, when she was 6, like, I mentioned it to her. I'm like, did you know, like, you're probably from a different country? You don't look like mom and dad, do you? She's like, no. I'm like, Aline, like, you ever think about that? She's like, oh, I don't care, mom and dad are mom and dad. And I was just like, And then when she was 8, that's when, like, she started noticing things, like, I mean, again, I'm Hispanic. And my sisters are Hispanic.
Whoa.
So, I mean, when you're with 2 white fucking parents, like, what? Did dad have, like, an eternal affair, like 3 times? So, I mean, I, like, mentioned it to her. I said, like, yeah, like, you're adopted. Like, this is where you came from, and I know.
You told that to an 8-year-old.
Well, I found out, and I was just like, I was just like, this is wrong. I would, like, always mention it to, like, my mom, like, you need to tell Aline. She's like, no, it's not the time. Like, when you gonna tell her? And she's like, what, 18? Like, you're gonna mess up her whole world.
Right.
Like, and, like, what, like, what, when they ask her in class, like, hey, like, what nationality are you? And be like, white? But, I always said that. And then, like, when my other sister came around, I would then be, like, to her, like, at a very, very young age, like, this is what you are. And I think I did, like, when she was, like, 1. I would, like, pull up my globe, and I'm like, this is where you are. And her first, I would... It's a 1-year-old, okay?
Traumatizing your freaking siblings before they're even able to comprehend.
I was basically just telling her. I mean, for years, I would just say, like, oh, yeah, you're like Dora. Where's Dora from?
Oh, my God.
So,
did your mom find out that you told them?
Yes. And that's when I got, like, a beating, like, a couple times. Like, I remember my mother would literally run after me into my bedroom. And I mean, this is, like, a whole different story. But long story short, my mother would beat me, and so would my dad. And I always just, like, said to myself, like, well, they didn't mean it. Like, they were just mad. I did something wrong. My mother was very manipulative. And it wasn't right. And they just thought, like, well, if we never tell them, then it should be okay. But it wasn't. So, I mean, other than that, I feel like there's also things in the people's heads that make them into sociopaths, narcissists, empaths, like, or any other disorder. Because, like, I mean, our situation is almost similar. Almost, not entirely.
It's pretty similar.
But, like, we're totally opposites. I mean, my mother would coddle my sisters. Like, this is gonna sound weird. But, my mother would not have me sleep in my own bed until I was 13. I always had to sleep with her and my other sister in her bed. And she all wanted us to spoon each other.
That's really weird.
Mm-hmm. But I never did. I always, like, felt, like, weird.
Yeah.
What were you looking at?
I'm just thinking. I'm in thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. But, like, no, like, I was just, Aline, you need to, stay away from me. I don't want to be touched. And my mother used to get so mad. I'm like, Mom, like, literally stop. And then this is going to get real dark real quick. But since I'm so open right now and getting vulnerable, then my mother told me one day, well, maybe one day you and Aline will marry each other. And I, like, looked at my mom and I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's just like, well, you guys are from, you know, different countries. And I'm like, Mom, you're weird. Like, stop talking like that. She's like, you love her. I'm like, you're gross. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's weird.
That's very weird.
That's not okay to say to your children.
No, like, and this is why, like, for, like, after my mother died, I went through so much trauma at that point, 'cause I start remembering these horrible, disgusting things as a child. And that's when I started thinking to myself, oh my God, I need to shut down. Which made me feel like maybe I'm a psychopath because I was just, like, always, like, fucked up as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I would literally hide from my parents getting picked up by them. Like, I would not want to be picked up by my parents when at school. And I would just be so angry when I get home. I would just be like, I don't want to be here. Like, I just want to fucking... Just, like, if my parents come by me and this is not going to end well, like, I'd be, like, looking at the spoon, looking at the knife, looking at the fork, and I'm like, I just don't want to be here. I don't want to eat. I don't want to be here at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I would lash out at them and say, like, you're not my real parents. Like, get away from me. You're fucking weird. And, like, you can't do that as a child to someone. You can't, like, right. With anything. But, I think, like, with being in a narcissist family or just, like, any empath in, like, in a really fucked up, like, life, I feel like you have, like, such a low way to maybe not make it through because you're just being pushed around. And I don't understand how I didn't just turn off my feelings like you did. Like,
right.
Like, you went through some traumatic stuff that she doesn't... I mean, Aria doesn't feel comfortable talking about it, but she went through some traumatic shit. I don't know how I just went through this, and I still have empathy for people. But I think I saw it also that people were sick. Like, I knew when I was a kid, my mother is sick, my dad is sick, my sisters are being traumatized, they're being manipulated.
Right.
And in therapy, my therapist, Emily, you have, like, really good insight. Like, you have really good instincts. Like, you know what's right and what's wrong. You just don't listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like...
At all. Don't listen to it at all.
Fuck off!
That's why you went into a pedophile's house, which is discussed in one of the previous episodes.
Check it out.
Yeah, I think it was 8 or something. But yeah, listen to how Emily disregards all the red flags. But anyway.
But yeah, but like, no, I just... I don't know how... Like, how did... Like, is there a way that you could teach somebody to turn off your feelings? Now we're into a big question now.
I don't know if that's something you can, like, teach someone. That's just kind of something that... happens.
But sociopaths are made.
Well, yeah, but everyone takes trauma differently, you know? Everyone takes that and uses it to shape themselves differently. I wouldn't know how to, like, coach someone into doing that. For me, I think part of it was that I had been idolizing, like, serial killers and stuff around the time where I was dealing with a lot of stuff, and I was really, like, jealous of how they could compartmentalize everything, and, like, they did whatever they wanted, you know, and it made them happy, and they didn't care, you know, and I was like, wow, I wish I could be like that.
Yeah, but I watch crime shows, too, and I would watch, like, always, like, at ID, or 24 Hours, Hard End Events, or any other show, and I would watch it, and I'd be like, oh my god, like, how did they do it? Like, they went through all of this trauma. I actually would get scared. I'd be like, oh my god, am I gonna end up like that one day? No, did you ever look at that? I'd be like, oh my god, I might be a killer one day with all the shit that I'm going through. Yeah. Like, what?
I've thought about that, obviously, and I do have a lot of violent thoughts, just because I wouldn't really care about the consequences of that. The only thing that keeps me from doing anything violent now is that I want to be a cop, so I'm not going to be stupid. Like, I'm not stupid. I know the difference between being stupid and being smart. But I don't know. Everyone grows and changes differently. Some people just shut down, and some people take it and learn from it and grow. Like, I honestly... My condition is showing that my growth was kind of, like, stunted, you know? And you took your experiences and grew from that, and that's the difference.
Stunted?
What do you mean? Yeah, like, like, my therapist says that this is a coping mechanism, you know? And so, like, it's just a negative way of reacting. Get that fire away from my face. I swear.
I want you to,
What?
To, like you always do.
Ah.
Remember, like, you always... No, like, ah! You haven't done that in the episode in a while.
We're playing with lighters.
I'm growing from my traumatic experiences, and that's good in a way, but, like, I'm also scared, like, what's going to happen when I meet my narcissist again, because it's coming up, and I don't want to have any empathy for her. I want to, like, be... Just, like, I want to be focused on myself. She has done this. She's done that. She has done this. She has hurt you. She does not care. She just cares about herself. And just, like, I want to keep repeating that in my head. But when I see her, I'm going to think probably of, like, the good times and being, like, in that presence. And then also, another thing I'm worried about is that what happens if I'm, like, scared of her? Like,
there's going to be other people there, though, right?
Yeah. My lawyer, yeah. But, yeah. Like, okay, for example, like, I will not, like, you could point a gun at me. Don't do it. Don't do it!
I won't! I have a loaded gun on the table next to me.
Why'd you say you were thinking about that?
Because you just put the thought in my head. It doesn't mean I'm gonna do it. Okay, just continue.
Like, you could put a gun in my head, and I wouldn't be as scared as when I was with her. When I was sitting across the table at Starbucks, and she was, like, just an asshole, like, you need to get me this, you need to do this, blah, blah, blah. Like, I would be like, okay, like, my heart was beating out of my chest. I actually put my hand on my heart because I could feel it popping out of my chest, and I was trying to calm myself down.
This was after you broke up, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, and the thing is, it's like, I was so terrified of her. And the way that she was, like, using her body, which now I see it, was intimidation. She put her hands, like, in a... What stance would this be? Like a...
Fingers interlocked and your thumbs facing you.
And she would look like me like this. She's like, you need to do this. Like, a very... Like if you're being interrogated.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, the most... Like, looking back on that, I'm like, where the fuck did she get that from? Like, I've never, ever in my life would ever had anyone look at me like that when I asked them for an interview to be a cop or something.
Right.
But, like, she looked at me like that with just, like, these eyes of, like, I could literally kill you and not blink twice. And that was, like, the most scariest thing in the world. And then I said, like, I don't want you to yell in Starbucks. She's like, I don't care. And I'm like, I do, though. Like, I live out here. Like, I am getting scared of you. Can we go in your car? And she's like, if you do anything, you're out. I'm like, okay, I get it. So in her car, she yelled at me for 4 hours straight in her car.
That sounds fun.
Getting yelled at for 4 hours straight about how, like, how I ruined everything and how I did this and she can't forgive me, and I said, like, I was going through this, and I do care about you, you mean the world to me, like, I don't, like, I don't want you to leave, I don't want us to be in pain, we both hurt each other, we both cheated, we both lied, we both destroyed each other, like, can we piece this back together, like, I did one thing wrong. I literally did one thing wrong. And her thing is like, well, I didn't sleep with somebody else. And that's the one thing that pissed me off, because there is so much evidence out of the five months I've been out of this relationship that proves that she was in another relationship, that proves she was sleeping with somebody else. And I am tired. And I'm tired and done with it. Like, all I want to do is yell in her face and be like, I know what you are. You are a manipulator. You never loved me. You went behind my back. You took the two things that I loved in our house away from me to get what you want. Right. That's not love. You never loved me.
You tell her.
Fuck you. If you're listening to this, I know exactly what you are. I am so disappointed, not only in myself, but in you. You are a child. You will never, ever get anywhere the mindset that you have. You wasted my time. Fuck you.
All right. Let's not terrify our listeners anymore. I hope that was therapeutic for you, though. Oh, it sounds like you're getting a lot out, so that's good.
Now I want a Coca-Cola with cinnamon in it now.
Dude, it's pretty good. Like, at first I was a little iffy about it, but I kept drinking it, and I was like, damn, this is actually pretty good, man.
Where'd you get it?
At Walgreens. Down the road. So. But yeah, so, is there anything else you want to add?
I feel like this is a long episode. I want to make the next episode about narcissism. Since that's what she is.
We're going to have a lot on that, because Emily had to deal with a lot in her relationship with that.
And I will say that about sociopaths, I've never had a, I never had a good friend like her, Aria. Like, I was, like, you took me to the hospital.
I know.
Like, you literally took me to the hospital, and you came and saw me and said I was okay.
Yeah.
And, like, it was, I don't know, a sociopath really did help me just, like, see the logic in things. Like, this is not gonna get better.
Yeah, I'm not afraid to tell her how it is with things, that's for sure. But, like I said, I like to keep I have a small amount of friends because I don't like making friends, so I try to keep the ones that I have.
Well, like, also, like, oh, you're talking about, I know what you're talking about, the SI, but, yeah, just, I don't know, people are scary.
For sure.
I wish I became a vampire like you, and just turn off my feelings. This shit sucks. I hate crying. Being an empath is sucks.
Feelings suck.
They do suck.
I can still relate to, like, losing emotional attachments, because, like, even somebody with ASP can still form emotional attachments. It's a lot more difficult, but it's still possible. So, like, that being that much more difficult makes it even worse when you end up losing a person that you started to trust, you know? So
now, like, if you lose that person due to suicide, are you gonna go after the person that helped, that I shouldn't say helped them do suicide, but like caused it in some way? Because I don't believe that suicide is just made from that one person. I feel like it's a chain of events that happen, and then also being abandoned and discarded is like the worst thing, because I didn't lose just one person that day. I lost two other people because they didn't know exactly what's going on, because I felt like I had to protect my narcissist. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like if, because she would beg me, she's like, don't tell your friends that I do this. Don't tell your friends that I said this to you. Don't tell your mom. I would hear that all the time. Like,
right, so they had no idea who she was, and then eventually ended up siding with her. That's pretty fucked up.
Well, one of them slept with me.
That too.
And the other one actually tried to make me cheat on her way before, and that was pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
And, which is weird. Like, why would a friend like, I told you about this. I was in the room with that girl. He left, went upstairs, and then I was with her, and nothing happened. And I, like, came out of the room, went to the bathroom, and he was going to the bathroom. And he's gay, so, I mean, if I see his dick and he's peeing, I don't give a fuck.
That's really weird.
But, like, yeah, he was peeing, and he's like, did you sleep with her yet? And I'm like, what? And he's like, did you sleep with her yet? And I'm like, no, but I'm gonna go to bed. And he's like, oh, so you didn't have sex with her? I'm like, no. And then, like, I went, and I was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's fucked.
Like, if your friends try to make you cheat on your cheat on your significant other, one, are they a real friend?
Right.
And two, like, they probably know, I mean, he knew a little bit about what was going on, but at the end, when his friend got hurt because I didn't want to be with her, it was bad.
You're getting really confusing.
How?
Because nobody knows who you're talking about, and it's just, like, he and her, and this is why we make names for people.
Well, you can cut this stuff out.
No, it's fine. It's not that bad. I just get confused.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That was hot.
Yep, that was the pizza.
Oh yeah, you did just have pizza. Pizza, I swear to God.
I literally haven't had pizza in what? Oh, yesterday I had pizza.
Yeah. At work.
How'd you know?
Because you always fucking have pizza at work. I come in and there's fucking three or four boxes in the garbage can.
Okay, I really want to get a Coca-Cola cinnamon right now.
Oh my God.
Like, I want to go in the car and go get it.
Now we're going to have to go to the store.
Yes, we are.
Jesus.
I really want it. How good is it?
Like, I don't know if it's good enough to, like, if you don't like it, I'm gonna, like, feel stupid for saying that.
You said it was so good.
I think it is. I don't know.
We can go get snow, and make snow cones out of Coca-Cola.
Yeah, let's go eat the dirty snow outside. Sounds lovely.
With dog shit and dog pee everywhere.
For real, and whatever else is in there.
Okay, now we're rambling.
Yeah, I don't know what we're talking about. Okay, so we're gonna probably cut this off here. Thank you for listening. Follow us on Instagram at sociopath_empath.
Hey, at least you know we're original.
Right, for sure.
We're not just like...
We're real.
Yeah, we are real.
Real, motherfucker.
You're real.
Are you real? Stop poking me. Okay. Good night, guys.
Good night.